No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it's just, it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
How we doing? It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We will get to some sounds of David Carr on the NFL Network coming up in a few moments from now. But first, Hickey, the start to my new year was fascinating. And since you weren't here on Monday and Tuesday, and you were at the Rose Bowl, and we will get into your trip to the Rose Bowl coming up later. But on Sunday, I was hosting here on WFAN and then on CBS Sports Radio, did 11 hours of radio to start off the new year, three over at the Fan, and then eight here for Ion Football. But the night before, I was with my Michigan buddies, my friends that went to Michigan, and what a scene that was, watching the game with them, how many times they were out of the game, then in the game. And I don't know about you, to me, where the game ended between Michigan and TCU, and I know there was still a chance at the end of the game, but after you have the fumble, they get the touchdown, then they're on the verge of getting off the field, that third and long blitz when Quentin Johnson is then running down the sideline, the one man you can't have beats you in that spot. I thought it was too many times where momentum would fade, then they would get it back. When the momentum faded there, I did not believe that Michigan was going to come back and win that contest. And also, when the first time all week I got nervous about Michigan, where I said it was going to be a close game, right as I'm sitting down and I had a drink in hand, getting ready to watch the first semifinal game, there's a bunch of hors d'oeuvres and everything, getting ready for a big New Year's Eve to ring in the new year and all that, I go to Twitter, Hickey. And the first thing I see, you know when you sometimes are away from Twitter, it goes, what you missed while you were away? Hot take Hickey's prediction, 31-20, Michigan over TCU. I said, uh-oh, ba-dum, this is not good. This is not good. Hickey is sending out one of these college football predictions. And then I started to think maybe TCU could win. But would you agree that when Johnson got that touchdown, that third and long play, and Michigan, who was just stupid, offense, they didn't use McCarthy's legs enough. The Philly special play was dumb. You're fumbling the ball at the one when it should have been a QB sneak. McCarthy was able, I know he threw two pick sixes, but to really throw the ball down the field, anytime they did it, it worked for big plays. I didn't think they had him throw the ball deep down the field enough. They were just so caught up in the run game. I looked at that Michigan approach. It was stupid, but that defensive play call to send almost everybody on that third down play, when all you had to do was just stop Quentin Johnson, you get the ball back and you maybe go win the game. That's one that still stands out to me even several days later.
Especially when they got burned on the exact same play earlier in the game where it was not a 70-plus yard touchdown, yeah, but it was one where underneath, Duggan has rolled out, flipped it to the slot receiver, and he's walked in for a touchdown earlier in the game. Same play he got burned on, and then a third and seven to do that, like I said, where Quentin Johnson has to break one tackle, which he did, and then was gone, like no one was there. In that spot, you can't have that happen.
So to continue into the rest of the night, then I went to one of my friend's restaurants and we had a sit-down kind of meal. And then eventually once the meal did end and it was like a group of 30, 40 people that this turned out to be. I didn't know it was going to be this many people. And they're bringing out family style, everything. And then at about 11 o'clock, they pull all the tables out of the restaurant and you open it up and it was a big party, drinks at the bar, all that stuff. And the game was obviously on, Ohio State, Georgia. That was wild, where I thought Ohio State looked like the better team throughout most of the game, and they looked like they were in control of the game. But when you leave the door open for Georgia, you know you have to just defeat them throughout 60 minutes, because if you leave the door open, Stetson Bennett and company are going to find a way to get the lead back. They did. And then you also saw Ohio State was moving the ball late, and then 3-2-1, ball is kicked, Happy New Year, and it wasn't even close to going through. But the reason why I'm bringing up this game is because it will get into my point of a CBS Sports Radio host that is very mad at Hot Take Hickey, because I thought C.J. Stroud, and I don't know about you, Ryan, he played phenomenal in the game. And if you recall that audio clip where we were talking to him at the Heisman Trophy, where he said to me, I think I'm more athletic than what I get credit for, and I hope to show that soon. He showed that athleticism on Saturday with that big 27-yard run late. And if you look at the scoreboard or the stat sheet, it's like only 34, I think it was, rushing yards. But there were so many times that he extended plays with his legs and then fired the ball down the field to create a big play. I know we have both been on the same camp where I love Bryce Young, you love Bryce Young, and we really, really just like C.J. Stroud but don't love him. I was really, really impressed with C.J. Stroud on Saturday night.
Easily the best game of his career, without a doubt, especially when you consider the stage. It, for me, gave big-time Justin Fields versus Clemson in 2020 revenge game, where he just took over the game, put the entire offense on his back, doing so, by the way, without their number one receiver. I know Jackson Smith and Jigba has been out all year, but still one of the best years in college football, and not there. Your number one running back, Trevon Henderson, not there. Later in the game, Marvin Harrison Jr. out of the game, not there. Still putting the offense on his back and putting them in position late in the game to where they were in field goal range to win the game. Like I said, it's just frustrating that his legs were not used earlier than just the last game of his career.
So you still don't know where I'm going at with this story.
Literally no idea.
So I get in on Sunday, wake up early, alarm, pounding headache because I didn't get much sleep. And I go do the show 3 hours, my little Pigs in the Blanket show on WFAN in New York. And we do the little football Sunday. Then I come on here and do Eye on Football. And the first 6 hours of Eye on Football, normal. But then when I get to the last 2 hours of the show, the Mac man, Jody Mack, joins me to start that 6 p.m. Eastern time hour of Eye on Football. I'm talking about the games, and I go, Jody Mack is here. Jody, Happy New Year. The first words out of Jody Mack's mouth, Happy New Year, but how's your boy Hot Take Hickey doing? Because I filled in for you last week, and I guess I didn't know this. You guys must have had some conversation about C.J. Stroud, because he's a big C.J. Stroud guy, and he thinks he's the best quarterback in the country. And he goes, I'm sure your boy Hot Take Hickey wants C.J. Stroud now, because last week you were saying that you didn't want C.J. Stroud as the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. And I kid you not, I know you're not going to believe this. I did not provoke him. This was unprovoked. Not only did he say that, he continued for 8 minutes to just take shots at you left and right about some of your takes on the NFL and college football. So how about the Mack man, Jody Mack, one of the nicest people I've ever met in this business, to start 2023? Just shot after shot at you, and I had defended you at one point. Not for your takes being great in the football world or the college world, but I thought it was clear what was happening and what you were a casualty of. I said to Jody, I go, Jody, you can't lie to me. You got to be honest. How much money did you lose last night on some of these games or in the NFL games today? Because it seemed a little bit extra personal, where he was annoyed about something else and was just treating you like you were a human pinata. And he said he did okay. He said he didn't win a ton of money, but he said he just did okay in his gambling world that 24 to 48 hour period. So Jody Mack and you, it'll be a big fight coming up soon.
Well, number one, Happy New Year to you as well, Jody. I appreciate the kind words starting off 2023, but
now I'm more inclined to have Jody fill in more when I'm out, if he's just going to tell you that you're wrong and just take shots at you all the time.
I don't even really recall. I remember, I know last week Jody was very high in C.J. Stroud. I don't really recall getting into it with him about it, but he can have C.J. Stroud. If Jody wants him, take him. It's all him. Congratulations, Jody. Great game. There's no real victory up, I guess, to take. Or
now, to
there's
be
no
fair,
real...
if there is a Colts fan listening right now, and you are Mr. Colts fan here on CBS Sports Radio, I don't even think on our entire network. There's not another a CBS Sports Radio producer, board op, update anchor, host that cheers for the pathetic Indianapolis Colts, right?
No, sir. I'm an island. I'm one of one.
So you are one of one. The last 2 or 3 years, you've had a lot of hope for some of these quarterbacks, and you've got excited, and the guys that you've wanted ended up just being either disasters, or the guy that you get in, they end up you hyping it up, and then they don't perform well. Like, for example, you wanted Baker Mayfield. You wanted Sam Darnold. You got excited for Carson Wentz.
Hopeful on Matt Ryan. I won't lie.
You were hopeful on Matt Ryan.
Thought it was going to be a lot better than advertised, that's for sure.
I think if the Indianapolis Colts get C.J. Stroud and they do draft him, that'll end up being good just because of the fact that you're saying, no, I don't want him, and you're digging your heels in so deep and you're so anti-C.J. Stroud, who, once again, I think it's a fine option. I think showed me a lot on Saturday night, and that was the first time that I looked at C.J. Stroud, who I've really liked, I just didn't love, and I said, wow, he plays like that. I love C.J. Stroud.
If we're going to go with that logic, take Will Levis, who I'm the most down on, and have him be, you know, the next Tom Brady. That's the case. I am the most down on Will Levis, so that if the Colts draft him, you know what that means, because I'm always wrong, he's going to be the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. So let's go. Let's get in there.
Oh, only if they go to the Colts. Because that's,
yes. Like, and Bryce Young will be the biggest bust since, like, Jamarcus Russell, if they're able to draft him, and I'm sitting here parading Bryce Young. That's just, that's how the mojo is gone this year.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, I thought it was very telling, and I was a little bit concerned when I wasn't here that week, or I was doing the shows just from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, that Jody's hosting, and obviously you guys got in some conversation on air, off air, where he knew everything about your C.J. Stroud take and how you did not want C.J. Stroud, and he wanted to just throw it back in your face. So it was intriguing to me.
I appreciate Jody almost a week after the discussion still having on his brain where the first words that, you know, you uttered to him, he's just ready to come out firing like a cannon. I you know what? And that's one of the areas where I say thank you, Jody, for thinking of me.
It was the greatest start to the new year that I've ever had. In my 28 years of living, it was the greatest start to a new year that I've ever had, because I love when people take shots at you. I find it very entertaining. And to not even ask for it or do any digging or try to find a way to pull it out of Jody, he just turns on the microphone. How about you buy hot take tonight? See you tonight. It's great. Great, 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 great. Anyway, David Carr was on the NFL Network, and he was discussing his brother Derek Carr and what Derek Carr is looking for in his next team.
And he's going to look for teams that have a stable situation between their head coach and their ownership, right? Stable, right? He's also going to be looking for a team that is also looking for a quarterback that has a reputation for game-winning drives and fourth-quarter comebacks. I'm excited. Maybe he's the missing piece for someone. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for my brother's future.
So two things here. Obviously, he's taking a shot at the Raiders organization, and I can't blame him for doing that. But this is his brother. And we know the Carr family is a little extra sensitive when you look at how quickly they block people on social media and how it's never really Derek's Carr's fault for what goes on with the Raiders. Now, this year, I can't blame it on Derek Carr, but he did not play well. Last year, he was admirable in circumstances that you can't even imagine. So it's not surprising to me, Ryan, that David Carr is speaking out and defending his brother when he's an analyst on the NFL Network, but, and I know it's his family, so it's tough here, but I think the way that the Carrs think of themselves as quarterbacks is not really reflected on the reality of how the quarterbacks are actually viewed. And you go into just looking at Derek specifically, I think they believe that Derek Carr is without a doubt a top 10 quarterback. There's more times than not that he shows that he's not a top 10 quarterback compared to being a top 10 quarterback in this league.
Yeah, that's... look, it's tough because obviously it's his brother, so you're not going to trash
him. Yeah, I'm not like, crushing the guy.
Definitely could have used without the second part of teams are looking for a quarterback with, you know, a history of fourth quarter comebacks. That seemed a little self-serving, a little, you know, maybe too indulgent. But, I mean, I guess it makes sense. Like, the Raiders are very unstable. You're looking for a situation where obviously any quarter could want to go that is, you know, functional, that is, you know, has good leadership up top. didn't really think he said anything like earth shattering in terms of like what he's looking for. Like I would say, obviously, yeah.
What that says to me? If you know what team he wants to go to, this is just a guess. With the teams that need quarterbacks or could be in the market for a quarterback, if he wants just a stable situation, out of all the teams that are out there that could be looking for quarterbacks, what do you think? Who do you think could be the most stable?
I mean, I kind of say the Jets at this point.
Nope.
No.
Not the Jets stable. Woody Johnson's a joke.
I would say
we don't know the long-term future of Robert Saleh. Joe Douglas just missed on a quarterback.
Built a playoff roster.
It's the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I know their ownership situation is not, I guess, by the definition, stable. But you look at John Schneider, you look at Pete Carroll, those are the people that are really running the show, and you have some pieces around you, and I'm not going to say that that team is necessarily a quarterback away because Geno Smith has played well this year, but I just don't know what the long-term future is of Geno Smith. If I'm Derek Carr, and I could pick any of these destinations this year, Commanders, Jets, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Seattle, I guess anyone right in the NFC South, I'd be most inclined to go play for Seattle this offseason. If they would want me, they may want to go extend Geno Smith multiple years.
I was going to say, are they in the conversation?
Until we see a long-term deal for Geno Smith, I'm not going to rule him out because, like, for example, the Giants with Daniel Jones. You would think Daniel Jones is going to be back as their quarterback next year, correct?
Probably, yeah.
Probably. The guy's been balling out. If it is up to the Giants, I think they bring back Daniel Jones. But if Daniel Jones goes on the open market, and let's say the Giants don't franchise tag him, you never know what another team could ante up in a desperate time. So same thing could happen with Geno Smith, where you would think Geno Smith is going to be back next year with the Seahawks. But if a team calls up Geno Smith and says, we really want you, and he goes, well, I have a 3-year deal right now from Seattle. You got to top that. A team gives him 5 years and significantly raises the guaranteed dollars, he may say goodbye to Seattle. Because this is going to be the last payday that Geno Smith's going to get with how much the guy has been written off and he didn't write back. And now he's going to try to write back in a big way and get a big paycheck this offseason.
Oh, I get that. I get that on both senses. I'm just not sure that either, you know, there's a team out there that will give Daniel Jones more money than the Giants are willing to give him, or that there's a team that was going to back up the Brinks truck for a guy like Geno Smith.
A lot of teams need quarterbacks, though.
Will not be able to afford him.
So you, if you're Derek Carr, you have to make a prediction. Where do you think he's playing next year? I'm not predicting he's going to Seattle, but that's if I'm him, I would really pursue Seattle.
I'm going to say the Jets.
Now, this is going to totally go against everything that his brother just said, but I still think the Commanders are a good spot. Now, I know Ron Rivera made some bad decisions this year, but you look at a roster standpoint, that roster's really good with the Washington Commanders. When you have Terry McLaurin, you have Jahan Dotson, Brian Robinson Jr., the pieces that you have in the front seven, I look at the Commanders and I find them intriguing. I also think that he'll consider Tennessee too. Because I know they just got rid of the general manager, John Robinson, but Mike Vrabel is highly respected in the National Football League, and you're going to think he's only going to get more and more power throughout this thing once they did dismiss John Robinson. I could see him going to Tennessee there, hot take, Eki.
I guess my only hesitation is I'm not sure, like, he's an upgrade over Ryan Tannehill.
He's not great. He's not a franchise quarterback, Derek Carr, but he's better than Ryan Tannehill.
He is. Are the Titans going to go? Like, I think they're going to try to swing big. And I think if the timing works out where if you swing and miss.
But if you don't get Brady and Rodgers, then what's big this offseason? Jimmy G, like?
No, I would. No, I agree. Like, there's only two guys you can go swing big for. And if you don't, if you miss, I just wonder by that point if it's too late and Derek Carr is already with another team.
By the way, I sensed something from you.
Sense?
Yeah. And I know how stubborn you could sometimes get. I mentioned Daniel Jones. It seems like you're still not willing to give any praise to Daniel Jones. Is that a fair assessment?
He's been solid. Like, this is the best year of his career, but what is also that saying?
Well, it's showing. Look at the situation that he's in right now.
He's been okay. Like, I don't, you know, again, okay, like, this Giants offense is not, you know, earth-shattering. Like, this has been a better team than we thought, but this is not a guy that I'm willing to say is now my franchise quarterback, without a doubt.
No, I'm not saying franchise quarterback, but he's showing he's a good quarterback, and you wonder, if he could be great if you get other pieces around him that aren't Isaiah Hodgins and Reggie James.
Fair. But again, like there's just
he's
a lot
mobile.
Of praise that I just.
He's leader. He's tough.
You watch him. It's just like he doesn't really do anything outstanding.
You didn't think last week was outstanding against your football team?
I mean, everyone's doing that now. I thought that last week against the Colts was the best game of the season.
Yeah. I think I called him Reggie James, Richie James, the Giants wide receiver.
Yes, I mean, I wouldn't disagree. He has no weapons. I totally agree with that. But it's just like, okay, if you're Brian Daboll, you can do this with Daniel Jones. Can you do a lot more with a lot better quarterback?
But once again, who are you going to get?
This year, maybe no one. But again, you look around, you build the team first.
I don't know. I think
in a year or two?
I've never had a hatred for Daniel Jones. I just wasn't a believer. I think you have a hatred for Daniel Jones.
It's just a frustration that I feel like Giants fans are willing him to be good and trying
he's
to hype him
good
up better
year.
Than he truly is.
But he's playing good football this year.
I'm not saying this year. I'm saying his whole career. Like this is
oh,
not
I,
a
I
one-year thing.
I think there was
thing.
A lot this more negative been... Giant fans than positive Giant fans about him.
Mm.
When he got drafted, that was not a popular draft pick.
And then he wins
doing?
The game in Tampa Bay, and all of a sudden now it's Danny Dimes this, Danny Dimes that.
You're getting
oh, my
caught
God,
up
he's
in the,
good.
You're getting caught up in the CBS Sports Radio universe where you're just taking out your frustration with Baraz's takes. That's
no,
what you're doing.
No. I think a lot of Giants fans agree with him. That's the thing. And it's just...
This year he's playing good
up,
football.
He's again. He's been solid. I'm not taking it away
from
him.
You would take him on the Colts in a second.
I would not.
Oh, stop
I would
it!
Not. I would not be happy if Daniel Jones is the Colts quarterback going forward.
You would take him on the Colts in a second because
take C.J. Stroud.
No, you don't want C.J. Stroud.
And I would take him over. Exactly right. I'd take him over Daniel Jones. That's for sure.
I think you're being disrespectful. Disrespectful to Daniel Jones, where you're not willing to give him enough credit for the job that he's done. With that team this year, and he finally gets a competent coach, and really with not a lot of talent around him, he's playing good football. I'm not telling you his ceiling is a great quarterback without a doubt, but he's a really good quarterback this year. But hot take, Hickey, if you're a Giant fan, get the Hall of Fame jackets ready. Because if Hickey's bashing a quarterback, the quarterback goes on to have massive, massive success. I wonder if Jody Mack is a Daniel Jones guy. That I don't know, because if he is, then, man, Jody Mack is going to throw some haymakers this weekend on the final eye on football for this football season. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
You're fraudulent. You're not in the business of winning football games. You're in the business of trying to prove your own asinine decisions correct. We can talk about the Ursay thing. Do I think the Saturday thing is the biggest joke in the history of the NFL? I do. But at least he was willing to say, this ain't working for me. I don't care that I just gave him extensions.
Listen to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You could always give us a follow on Twitter, at Zach Gelb, and also at CBS Sports Radio. And you can find our poll question there this evening. And the poll question is this. Jim Harbaugh next year will be? And then the answers, coaching in the NFL or coaching at Michigan? Hickey, what do you think the early returns of this poll question are right now? How many percentage out of 100 do you think, or how many percent out of 100 do you think are going to be saying that Jim Harbaugh is coaching at Michigan next year?
27.
Dead wrong. Not even close.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's the majority.
Really? At Michigan?
I didn't stutter. Yeah.
54?
56.9% right now say that Jim Harbaugh is going to be coaching at Michigan. 43.1% say coaching in the NFL. Now,
We have laid out the potential landing spots for Jim Harbaugh so far. You know the Panthers are going to be interested. You know the Broncos are going to be interested. I would assume there's nothing that's been reported on this yet, Hickey, but he's in the Ring of Honor somehow. You would think that the Indianapolis Colts would place a phone call to one Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, he only played there for, what, 4 years? And I know
that's right.
One Pro Bowl season was in Indianapolis, and he did make a title game. But to put him in the Ring of Honor, Hickey, they just put everyone in the Ring of Honor in Indianapolis?
No. No, they do not. That's I would agree that's a questionable one for sure. But if it helps, you know, maybe this is Jim Irsay 20 years later thinking maybe I need him as a head coach. Put him in now. Bring his heart back to Indy when he, you know, is conflicted. And this is Jim playing chess, not checkers.
Or, you know, the standard's pretty low in Indianapolis. They do have a banner for an AFC championship game appearance. Since he got to an AFC title game as a player, or a title game as a player, maybe that's why he's in the Ring of Honor.
Maybe. I mean, hey, I'm not going to complain. It's it's questionable. I think we've also seen some. Yeah.
It's more than questionable.
It's interesting. That's one where you got to kind of do a double take there, especially when the years they put there that he's been there, it's like 4 years.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he didn't have a few good moments, but
Captain Comeback. You know, that's where you get a nickname, and that's how you get the Ring of Honor.
But give me a break, Ring of Honor. That's once again an organization that strives to be good, not great.
Between Johnny Unitas and Peyton Manning, let's just say the cupboard was pretty dry when it comes to good quarterback play.
Okay,
for
it doesn't
a
mean
long
you have
time.
To start putting everyone in your Ring of Honor.
I don't disagree, but hey, 40 years of futility. I guess Jim Irsay had enough.
You know what is actually going to be a good historian on this? I'm going to go to Ack on this one. Because Richard Ackerman, I would say, and I don't know this necessarily, but when it comes to a Ring of Honor, you would think the standard should be pretty high, right?
I would say so, yes. It's like, sort of like a Hall of Fame.
You need to be great to be in the Ring of Honor,
yes.
In your mind. Not just good, great.
Yes. I don't know what criteria exactly. Do you need like All-Star / Pro Bowl selections, you know, rings?
But if I say Ring of Honor...
It's like Hall of Fame, you know. It should come right off the top of your head.
Jim Harbaugh is in the Ring of Honor for the Indianapolis Colts.
No.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. No.
I mean, you know, nearly took him to a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but
got to an AFC title game.
But I just don't equate him with a Ring of Honor guy.
I would tend to agree with you.
Michigan quarterback, yes.
Different.
Yes.
We're talking about the Indianapolis Colts. So anyway, Jim Harbaugh is in the Ring of Honor, and you'd have to think that the Colts are going to try to go pursue him. So we've talked about those three potential destinations, Panthers, Broncos, and the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to give you a wild card here. Now, we discuss maybe the Jets want to move on from Robert Saleh and they go get Jim Harbaugh. Maybe you look at the Commanders with Ron Rivera. Do they make a coaching change after what happened the last 2 weeks? You know, just some curveballs in this situation. I was reading the other day from Armando Salguero, who used to work here at Odyssey and has been a longtime NFL reporter. I believe he now works with OutKick. And he said about the Dolphins, if they win their season finale and sneak into the playoffs, owner Stephen Ross might look the other way on those five consecutive December to January losses because it will feel more like a skid than a collapse. But this is what Armando Salguero is saying. If the Dolphins go from 8-3 to 8-9 and not in the playoffs, everybody's job is at risk. And when you read the article, he talked about the general manager, Chris Greer. He obviously talked about the defensive side of the ball. He talked about the head coach in Mike McDaniel, and even a conversation that needs to be had about the quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa, who's not going to play and obviously should not be playing this weekend. McDaniel, after his first year, which... it is kind of like Brian Flores, not Flores' first year, but the feel of Flores that those final 2 years with the Dolphins where they get close, but yet so far from making the playoffs. Now, they could still win this weekend, and the Bills, if they play this game this weekend, beat the Patriots, and then Miami does get in the playoffs. But if McDaniel misses the playoffs and they go from 8-3 to 8-9, Hickey, does that mean, and I think you only get rid of Mike McDaniel, we don't know what he's going to be yet in this league, but people have positive things to say about him, but the results have been up and down this year. I wonder if Stephen Ross, if Jim Harbaugh really wants to go back to the NFL, and I know Stephen Ross before, and we have made fun of him for doing so. Stephen Ross before has said he's not going to be the one. His name is on the business school at Michigan, that he's not going to be the one to take Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan. But if Harbaugh wants to leave, Hickey, and let's just say the Dolphins missed the playoffs and Armando Salguero is saying that everyone's job is at risk. Doesn't mean everyone's going to get fired, just at risk. Do you think Stephen Ross, before deciding on Mike McDaniel, will at least place a phone call to one Jim Harbaugh and go, are you coming to the NFL? If so, let us know because we would be interested.
I would still say no, just because last year's the year to do it. You want to be in denial that he's, oh, you know, he's going to stay or I'm not going to do it. Like he even said, I believe it was, and I don't want to be the one to hire him away. So it's not like he was saying, I want him to stay. It's just, I'm not going to be the one to take him away from our alma mater. I mean, that last year's a chance when you had an opening to hire him. You didn't
but
do so.
You always hear about Jim Harbaugh that maybe he wants control of player personnel or he needs his guy in there to be a GM. I don't know if he had any previous relationship with Chris Greer. It was made clear last year that Chris Greer was coming back. If you are saying that everyone's job is at risk and you get rid of a first-year coach who will see what he finishes after this weekend, if he makes the playoffs, it's not a conversation. If he misses the playoffs, you know, 8 wins is not the end of the world, even though they were 8-3 and it's been a terrible finish. I just wonder if that, even though last year you're right, it was the perfect time, if now when you're getting rid of the GM, do you just say, okay, we'll get rid of the coach and Harbaugh, you could have at it, you could have full control if you want, or bring in your own guy at GM?
I guess it's just hard to make that sense just because if you're really going to fire Mike McDaniel for losing a game with Skylar Thompson, possibly a quarterback, like then what are we doing?
It's also the way that they perform down the stretch. I know the Tua conversation changes things because Tua wasn't there for the final two games of the season and also missed those 2.5 games, you could say, where they did lose games earlier in the year. But you just start to wonder if Stephen Ross is saying, I can't trust Tua to be healthy, and I know the concussions are totally different and they're just absolutely horrible what's occurred, but you don't know what the long-term future of Tua is going to be. And McDaniel, even when Tua was playing down the stretch, we had a lot of conversations other than that game against Buffalo recently where we said Tua just was not looking good as the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
I would agree. And if it's for me, I would say Tua is more on the hot seat than Mike McDaniel. Like, if there's one person that's more likely to not return, is it Tua or McDaniel? I would say it should be Tua.
Now, we know they tried to pursue Tom Brady. Do we get even crazier here? Because maybe Sean then would still be in play. Now, you'd have to do a trade, but maybe they say, okay, Jim, we don't have to trade for him. Brady is a Michigan guy. If Brady's looking to leave the Bucs, which we don't know if that stuff is going to be the case, maybe end up still getting Tom Brady. You're also pursuing, and you go bring in Jim Harbaugh, and you make it a Michigan party for Stephen Ross.
If that's a scenario, I'm fine. Then you want to move on from Mike McDaniel. Everything has to be in place for that to happen.
Notice that. Once but that's we say like, Brady going to the AFC East, Hickey's like, yeah, I'm all in for Jim Harbaugh and Tom Brady going there because you want to see Belichick in the same division.
No, it's just more of actually having
Brady.
If you actually have a plan, then that's harder for me to argue against it. But it's like if you're firing Mike McDaniel, then you're like, what do we do now? Let's hope for Jim Harbaugh. Maybe it's not a guarantee. Let's hope for Sean Payton. It's not a guarantee. That's just stupidity.
Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We will do overreaction, proper reaction next. But first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, the man that determines everyone's NFL Ring of Honors.
That really
here he
bothers.
Is. What?
I'm really bothered by that, Jim Harbaugh. He played 4 years there. They never won 10 games while he was there. How is he in the Ring of Honor? He went to a Pro Bowl once.
Yeah.
I'm now. You ruined my night.
I apologize.
Did
you have dinner yet?
I did. Thank you.
I was going to say, maybe go get some London broil and you'll be good.
It's well digested at this point, thankfully. Or also, you know, something else might have happened.
Hold on. Got to be careful. We already had Mraz once in that studio. I don't need you to be projectile vomiting.
Hickey, how is he in the Ring of Honor?
I mean, ask Jim Irsay. Don't ask me.
Yeah. I guess you got to be Jim Irsay's buddy to get in there.
That's true. Well, Hickey said he had the foresight to realize. All right, the Irsay brass that one day they may need him as a head coach, so that's why they elected to do so.
Oh, very nicely done, Hickey. There you go. Yeah. So
someone's got to laugh at his jokes.
Hickey sometimes contributes.
A blind squirrel finds an egg
sometimes.
Once in a while.
Broken clocks right twice a day. Way to go, Hickey. That's why we love you.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
This sham with Steve Keim out there in the desert, I mean, it's like no accountability. Never my fault. It's never his fault. Stuff just happens. Losses just fall from the sky. It's not Cliff's fault. It's not Kyler's fault. It's not my fault. It's not the owner's fault. We just have really bad luck. Just hang in there and keep throwing money at us and we'll figure it out. Shut up.
Listen to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it's just, it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Help! Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All right, Hickey, what do you got for me today?
All right, Zach, so the Eagles 2 weeks ago were one win away with three to go of clinching the number one overall seed. They have now lost two games in a row. We'll see if Jalen Hurts will return for Sunday's finale against the Giants. So is it overreaction or proper action to say the Eagles will lose out on the number one seed?
I think it's a overreaction because I do think the Eagles are going to win this weekend. And I don't know if there's really going to be much motivation for the Giants to really play their starters all that much. And we'll see how they're going to handle that. So I think Philly's going to find a way to bounce back here and get that number one overall seed and win the NFC East.
Your guy, Carson Wentz. Bad news for him. He was benched for the second time this season in Washington. As Ron Rivera announced, Sam Howell.
Hold on.
Took you that long to realize that, huh?
You said my guy?
That's right, your guy. Your guy, Carson Wentz, someone you have supported and believed in a ton for the last, let's say, 2.5 years.
Yeah, I believed in him for a span of 1 week, and that was not at the end in Philadelphia, not in Indianapolis, not at the start of his time with the Commanders, and he was trying to take command of the Commanders. It was actually last week when he was inserted back into the fold. I go, oh, it's not a bad landing spot. You go up against the Browns, who have a bad defense, and then you go the next week against the Cowboys, who at the time we thought the game wasn't going to mean anything for Dallas.
Right. And all you need to do is win out, and the Commanders were in. Instead, he throws three interceptions back on the bench, seemingly ending his Commanders career because he can be cut this offseason without any dead cap.
And so he will be.
Overreaction or proper reaction to say, Zach, Carson Wentz will never start another game in the NFL.
That's an overreaction. He will start another game, whether it's because someone gets hurt or someone has a crappy quarterback in front of him and he's the backup, but he will not walk into the NFL next year guaranteed a starting job, but he will eventually find a way to make one more career start.
Black Monday is almost here. Obviously, it will happen after Sunday's Week 18 games. Currently, right now, we have three openings available, the Colts, the Panthers, and the Broncos. So is it overreaction or proper action to say at least three other NFL head coaching jobs will open up?
Oh, that's a good question. So at least three more jobs are going to open up in the NFL. So we got three right now. Anyone else in the AFC East? I still think it's more unlikely than likely the Dolphins job opens up. AFC West, I think McDaniels is going to be safe. In the North, Stefanski may be close, but ultimately I do think he's going to be back. No changes in Jacksonville, Tennessee, Houston. There's one. In the NFC East, it could be Rivera, but I'm not ready to say definitely. I do think Kingsbury's gone, whether that's because they don't want him there anymore or he just walks away. And then if I have to find one more, it's not in the NFC South. The Panthers are already open. I do think both Bowles and Allen will be back. There's always a surprise, though. So give me a surprise for number three. Yeah, I think there'll be six total jobs open, probably.
All righty. A team we both believed in was the Green Bay Packers when they're sitting there at 4-8, and they have just rattled off win after win. So now they're sitting there.
I brought that up the other day where I said a few weeks ago, if I said down the stretch, it's more likely they go 0-3 or 3-0. We were both without a doubt saying 0-3, 0-3, 0-3. And now this weekend, winning their in on Sunday Night Football. Bum, bum, bada, bum, bum, bada, 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 bum.
So just like you said, win and they are in home against the Lions on Sunday Night Football. So overreaction or proper reaction that the Packers will make the playoffs and win a playoff game.
That's an overreaction. I do think that they could make the playoffs and they probably will make the playoffs. But to win a playoff game when it's up in the air, if they make the playoffs, I'm not ready to go there. But they will be a tough out. You are not going to want to see the Packers with the way that they're playing recently.
Another big game, win and you're in, is in the AFC South. It'll take place on Saturday as the Jaguars and Titans will face off, with the winner getting the AFC South crown and hosting a home playoff game. The Titans will start Joshua Dobbs, who did start last week on short rest against the Cowboys for Tennessee. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Jaguars will win the AFC South.
That's a proper reaction. Tennessee starting, you said it, Joshua Dobbs. This would actually be pathetic. I know that the Titans are a well-coached team and you got Derrick Henry. But Jacksonville should win. Anything else?
Oh, sorry, they're going to continue.
No,
okay.
Short
and sweet. All right, so unfortunately, Justin Fields got hurt last week. His season will come to an end as Matt Eberflus announced that he will not play in Week 18, meaning he could kind of put a bow on his 2022 season, the second year in the league. Completed 60% of his passes, 2,200 passing yards. He had 17 passing touchdowns, 11 interceptions, also had 8 fumbles, but did rush for 1,100 yards and 8 rushing scores. Is an overreaction or proper action to say Chicago's found their franchise quarterback in Justin Fields?
I think it is a proper reaction with one caveat, and I'll give you the caveat right now. And this is asking a lot, because the last Matt and Ryan couldn't do it. This Matt and Ryan, with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, need to go get him some pieces around him. He has shown me enough signs where I say he could be the guy. I know he's got to improve a little bit throwing the football, but there has been some plays where he's thrown the ball deep down the field. His running has stood out, though, the most. I believe in Justin Fields. I'm just concerned because he may not become the franchise guy because they mess him up in Chicago. But if Chicago just gets him another weapon or two, I think he'll be put in a position where he's shown this year he could find a way to get more out of a team and play well when he doesn't have the most ideal situation.
And let's wrap out with this, Zach. Patriots, your squad, win, and they are in Sunday game against the Bills. On the other side of the NFC, the Lions, and they need a little bit of help. They need the Seahawks to lose as well. But they beat the Packers, Seahawks lose. Lions are in the playoffs. Two teams that were not expected to be playoff teams before the year, but now they're knocking on the door. Would you say it's an overreaction or proper reaction to say, regardless of what happens on Sunday, both the Patriots and Lions have had successful 2022 seasons?
Hey, you think this is crazy that the Patriots have a shot to make the playoffs before the year?
I don't think they're a playoff team.
They're like in that 8-9 win conversation, but kind of throws you in that playoff hopper.
And you're in the mix, but I didn't pick them as a playoff. You didn't pick them as a playoff team.
No, I didn't.
There's people I would say that are more down than up on the Patriots.
Lions successful, Patriots no way. I know this roster's not good, but the approach on offense has been terrible. But I can't say it's a success because they have blown some games that they shouldn't have had. Like, I know no one thought they were going to beat the Bengals, but they blew that game at the end. The Raiders game was a joke. And then they got blown out by the Bears, which they should have won that game going into it the way you thought, and they ended up getting blown out. So I'm not throwing out participation trophies if they don't find the way to go make the playoffs, even with the roster that I did not think they'd make the playoffs before the year, and I don't love this roster that they have. Zach Gilb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a five-minute timeout, and when we come on back, Ty Dunn is going to stop by as we will chat a little bit more, unfortunately, about the horrible story that did unfold with DeMar Hamlin. And Ty has interviewed him a few times throughout the years and did a feature on him right when DeMar did get drafted, and talk about a few other storylines around the NFL.
No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it's just, it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it's just, it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.